Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and, through the internet, deliver it to you. Today's message is part four of a five-part series entitled What to Do, with today's message specifically being entitled What to Do When You're Not Okay, based off of Ruth chapter 1, verses 11 through 22. So let us dive into the Word today.
Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verses 11 through 22. But Naomi replied, "Why should you go on with me? Can I still give birth to other sons who could grow up to be your husbands? No, my daughters, return to your parents' homes, for I am too old to marry again. And even if it were possible and I were to get married tonight and bear sons, then what? Would you wait for them to grow up and refuse to marry someone else? No, of course not, my daughters. Things are far more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord himself has raised his fist against me." And again they wept together, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. But Ruth clung tightly to Naomi. "Look," Naomi said to her, "your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. You should do the same." But Ruth replied, "Don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us." When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she said nothing more. So the two of them continued on their journey. And when they came to Bethlehem, the entire town was excited by their arrival. "Is it really Naomi?" the women asked. "Don't call me Naomi," she responded. "Instead, call me Mara, for the Almighty has made life very bitter for me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me home empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has caused me to suffer and the Almighty has sent such tragedy upon me?" So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by her daughter-in-law Ruth, the young Moabite woman. They arrived in Bethlehem in late spring, at the beginning of the barley harvest. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God for this word.
So many of us struggle with the difficult moments in our lives because we don't realize that it's okay to not be okay. But troubled times do come. They will come. I'm going to share something extremely personal with you. Something that is not easy for me to share or to talk about. I suffer from depression and anxiety. I have mentioned it on the surface before. However, it is something that I have really and deeply struggled with throughout my entire life. And the truth is that I will always struggle with it. It's just the way I'm wired, and I've come to terms with that. That's why I love this shirt so much. "Not today, Satan." Because there are those days where I feel like the whole world could be crashing in, and I literally have to pray to God and sometimes say these words, "Not today, Satan." And it's very biblical. It's like when Jesus was being tempted by Peter to not go through with God's plan and not go through with the torture and death that he was about to go through. And Jesus literally had to say, "Get behind me, Satan. Not today, Satan." So the truth is, I will always struggle with it. It's just the way I'm wired. Now, growing up, I was always viewed as a nice, respectable boy. My friends' parents liked me and thought I was a good influence on their kids and always wanted me to be friends with their kids, even when sometimes their kids didn't want to be friends with me, but that's another story. My teachers, for the most part, saw me as a good kid. My parents looked at me as a good kid as well. And they always stressed how it was important to witness Jesus to others through being kind and compassionate. So my Christian upbringing certainly reinforced those things. However, there was something else, something false, that I picked up from going to worship in church throughout my childhood and teenage years. Everyone always had a smile on their faces. And I came to believe that if one were Christian, they must be happy. Just recently, Reverend Sal Sermarco and myself invited me onto a coffee talk that he's been doing on YouTube for Bristol Len. And he actually invited me to talk about what he called toxic positivity. And this is exactly the thing that I'm talking about here. A positivity that is false, that leads people who are struggling to despair and to think that they're less than Christian because they can't put on a happy face. And so for me, I came to believe that if one were Christian, they must be happy. And to be unhappy must mean that there's something wrong with one's faith. During my teenage years, starting at 14 years old, at least as far as I can remember, starting at 14 years old, I began to feel really depressed. Now, maybe depression had existed in me before that, but definitely at 14, I can remember being depressed. I had terrible body image, terrible self-esteem, and I was locked in a melancholic prison. I began to become more and more withdrawn, and being in school, church, or other social situations made me extremely anxious and uncomfortable. Yet I couldn't avoid them. I couldn't not go to church, that wasn't allowed. I couldn't not go to school, that wasn't allowed. I couldn't not be in social circumstances or avoid that. But instead of talking about it, instead of revealing that side of me to others, say my pastor or a youth leader or friends or peers, instead of revealing that side of me to others who could help, I bottled it up and kept it inside myself. In fact, the only way that I expressed it at all was through poetry, which I started writing in the summer heading into my freshman year of high school. And here's one of the earliest poems I wrote during that time period called All I See is Darkness. Does not the light shine upon the earth? Does not the light shine upon my brow? No, there is no light upon the earth, and the light upon my brow is black, and all I see is darkness. There is a vast emptiness lurking around me. The cold black feeling of death is entering my soul. I grow more and more weary during my restless nights, and all I see is darkness. I begged my God to guide me to the light, but there is no mercy for me. There is no more love to spare, neither is there any kindness to share. I'm like a blind beggar crawling on my knees, and all I see is darkness. As can be seen in the poem, I was in a very dark place. At 14, I was around 14, 13, 14 years old when I wrote that poem. No, definitely 14. And the bottling it up didn't take away the pain and suffering, but further isolated me from others and made it worse. We have all had moments where we were just not okay. Many of us are still in that place in one area of our lives or another. What are you still angry about? What are you still not okay with? I, for one, am not okay with the fact that I have gained so much weight back. And I'm sure it's been noticed that I've gained weight. And it bothers me because I worked so hard to get that weight off. But I have to pray to God and say, not today, Satan. There is a new day arising, a day where I can right that wrong. So where are you still not? What are you still not okay with? Where have you felt abandoned?
Ruth and Orpah were walking back to Bethlehem from Moab. And Naomi was telling them that their best bet was to go back to Moab and hope that somebody would take them in. She couldn't ask them to continue on with her, because that to her seemed like a hopeless dead end for her two daughters-in-law. Naomi herself was hoping to go back to Bethlehem, where she was from, and to find somebody to take her in. Now, sadly, and it's important to note this, sadly, it was a time when a woman's identity was wrapped up in the man in her life. Women suffered socially where they went from being property of their parents to the property, childbearers, and housekeepers of their husbands. Ruth refused to leave Naomi. Even though Naomi was hoping and requesting that they would leave, Ruth refused to leave Naomi, which actually lessened Naomi's chances of a secure future, because it was less likely that a man would take both women in. In the account, Naomi went from being called Naomi, which means pleasant, to being called Mara, which means bitter. She was choosing to be defined by her bitterness. So much so that she literally renamed herself. In her state of not being okay, she expressed her anger toward God, whom she felt had brought calamity upon her. Note that instead of turning away from God or disbelieving God, she brought all those feelings to God in prayer. And she was not chastised either by God, religious leaders, or her loved ones for having had negative feelings or for being honest with God. Now stay tuned for next week to hear about how Naomi experienced grace and learned that our frustrations, while valid, do not have the final say over our lives. They don't. When have you chosen to redefine yourself in a negative way because of something that happened? I want you to think about that. When have you chosen to stay away from people who are struggling or suffering? When have you chosen to redefine yourself in a negative way because of something that happened? And when have you chosen to stay away from people who are struggling or suffering? Often our first reaction is to become bitter and to blame God. How could God let this happen to me? Why is God doing this to me? Let me say this, which might come as a shock, but don't hide your anger from God. It is okay to be angry. Expressing anger and fear is a healthy and normal part of anyone's faith journey. We need not fear anger and bitterness in ourselves or others. God's love and grace are bigger than all of our pain and anger. Whatever the proverbial thorn in our flesh is, whether it is anger, depression, anxiety, fear, or bitterness, God is reminding us, as he did Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, that my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. Trust, trust, trust in God's grace. Trust in the everlasting, amazing grace of God. For God is sufficient for us, and God will be with us each and every step of the way. How can we be supportive and walk alongside one another regardless of where we're at? Again, on that coffee talk with Chaplain Sal, we talked about how the church is often the last place you would share your struggles with somebody else. Why? Fear of judgment. Because of that faux positivity, that toxic positivity, where we pretend everything is good in our lives and we're better than those who are struggling. That's such a lie, is it not? We're not better than those who are struggling. We struggle ourselves as well. And the church should be the absolute first place we go to share our struggles so we can walk side by side with others in them. How can we be supportive and walk alongside one another regardless of where we're at? How can we build healthy ways of expressing our honest emotions to God? God gives us room to not be okay, but calls us to be together in the midst of our struggles. If we're not going to be okay, let us not be okay together, so that we can support one another and love one another and walk with one another through this. Let's be challenged to support each other in our weaknesses. Let's be challenged to really make an attempt to give others the space to not be okay, and so that we can empathetically walk beside them and journey with them, even if we don't have words to say, even if it makes us feel uncomfortable, to be present with them, because presence is what matters, my friends. God is present with us, and we need to be present with others. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we just thank you for this challenging message. You have called us, Lord, to recognize that sometimes we're not okay. Sometimes things are tough. Sometimes things are rough. Just because I'm a pastor, Lord, doesn't mean that I am not a human being, that I don't struggle, that I don't go through challenging times. Lord, you know my struggles. You know them. And you walk with me through them. And you've put others in my life to walk through them with me as well. So, Lord, help us as a church to model that kind of Christianity. The kind that doesn't put on a false, toxic positivity, but the kind that is sharing the hope of healing and wholeness and resurrection through our struggles and how you have gotten us through them. Help us to be a people who are witnesses to the hope that we can and will rise out of the ashes of our brokenness and into a glorious and resurrected life. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.